Fine Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Lots of things to resolve this morning. Looking at Rob's citrus tree and his Satsuma. And Rob, you actually had already sent me a picture. As I went back, I was able to find it of that tree. And I'm pretty sure that what we've got is a tree that the graft got buried. Something happened to that tree early on, but the mulch is definitely causing rot. Let's pull the mulch away from the tree. We're going to look for the trunk flares as best we can. And it would help to have another view of the tree so I can kind of get a sense of what's going on there. I hate to do that, but when things go wrong like that, sometimes we have to really look carefully to get it fixed. So pull that mulch away. Let's look around the tree a little bit better. Pull as much of the mulch and even pull some dirt away until you can begin to see those root flares really clearly all around the tree. Something odd happened to that tree early on. Listen. Folks, I've told you before, you are not going to stop me from talking about planting a fall garden. And it is very important. It's the time to do it. The time to do it is right now. Right now. You need to order your seeds. You know, and listen, A-Bloom, Old Time Feed and Seed, they're going to have some great plants available, but there are some things you just have to do from seeds. You just have to do it from seeds. Let's talk about two of them. Just, you got no alternative but to do them from seeds, but they're so easy. They're so easy. Radishes. I love radishes. And you know what? Their radishes are incredibly heat tolerant. I don't know why, but I'm not talking. Listen, let's go back. We're not talking about those little cherry red things that they put on the table at pseudo fine restaurants, you know? We're not talking about those little dinky things. We're talking about good fall radishes that are absolutely delicious. The greens are delicious. We love cooking with the greens. You want to talk about a great gumbo. Make your gumbo, skip the celery, make your gumbo with radish greens. They're absolutely delicious, absolutely wonderful. The stems are great, chopped up instead of celery. Beautiful stuff. I love the radish greens, but the radish roots from fall are great. You can grow radishes. Oh, I looked at growing some radishes that get 3 or 4 feet long, and you can actually use those kinds of radishes to improve your soil. We can talk about that. They're very neat. If you've got some soil that needs breaking up and your water table's deep enough, you can use these great radishes to break up hard pans. They're really good at doing it. You could do that instead of deep tilling. It's an incredible thing. But let's go back. Food. Radishes are great food. They're delicious food. We have so much fun. The green radishes, the green Luobo radish that we're getting from China, absolutely the most beautiful thing. They're about 10 inches long. They're almost a perfect cylinder. They're this beautiful shade of green with white inside. It is the most beautiful thing when you cut it open, and they're absolutely delicious. Crisp, a little spot of heat, just a little spot of heat, but just a beautiful flavor. I love those green radishes. They're absolutely wonderful. You can only grow them in fall. The famous watermelon radishes, the rose radishes, they have a lot of different names, but they have red heart radishes. They have these beautiful red centers. Stunningly red. You'll see them in fine restaurants. Beautiful things. You can grow these radishes like crazy here, but you got to grow them in fall. You could start those green radishes, those red radishes. They're beautiful. You know, there's There's beer radishes, B-double-E-R, beer radishes from Germany that people eat in lieu of potato chips when they go out to eat at when they go to a beer house. They're very popular. They're very common there. These beautiful things, you can grow them great here during winter. They're beautiful. So some of those now. There are, and then there are the great 3 to 4 foot long radishes that are really good from China. If you just want to grow something big and impressive that will impress your neighbors, you could do that too. There are violet radishes that are some of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. These beautiful violet colored things with these great flavors from Europe. Radishes are something that we can do really well in fall. Carrots. Did I mention carrots? Now, listen, I feel bad about talking about carrots because Johnny in Grand Bay's got carrots figured out. There are folks out there who got carrots figured out for longer than I have had carrots figured out. But I'll tell you, I had success with carrots last year. I had good success with carrots last year. I had a few failures, but I had some good success with some carrots, and it is just emboldened me now to talk about carrots all the time. I was indifferent to carrots, I will be honest. I thought, well, I could do the same with grocery store carrots, which is not quite true. Not quite true. Where it comes to roots, the roots I get from my garden are sweeter and better. They're just better, and they're not as limp. But the greens, man, the greens. Can I talk about the greens of the carrots? I am in love with carrot greens. I have just come to love carrot greens, and I can go out in my garden and harvest the carrot greens. Oh, with the carrot roots, what a wonderful thing. I can harvest the carrot greens even before I harvest the carrot roots. It's a great thing. Carrots are a great thing. You can't go get them in a pot. You got to get them from seed. It's the seed now that's the great thing. The other advantage of seed, and I'll just tell you, and the reason we want to start thinking now, is because things like broccoli and collards and kale and mustards and a lot of Japanese and Chinese greens that are so good during the winter, you're not going to be able to find the varieties. You're not going to be able to find all the varieties that you could play with. So you may not be able to find a giant red mustard when you go looking for plants. You may not be able to find the best broccolis like persicaba, which is, I hate to say that word out loud, but I have to say that word out loud. It's a Brazilian broccoli. And listen, if you think Brazilians haven't figured out how to deal with heat, they've got a great broccoli that is absolutely delicious. It is. I love that broccoli. It has a great flavor. It's great raw. It's the best raw broccoli I've ever had. You're not going to be able to find that at Home Depot or Lowe's or probably anywhere as a plant. You got to start them from seed, and you need to start them now. Persicaba. Seeds are very important. Now's the time to do it. You can start sowing your radishes about as soon as you get the radish seeds in. I'm sowing my broccoli seeds right away. You remember my nasturtiums and marigolds? We're getting those started just as soon as I get the seeds in. The marigolds in particular, you need to go ahead and get them started as soon as you can. Nasturtiums, go ahead and get those seeds started. Put a little nick in them. If you've got any questions about how to do some of these things from seeds, you just give me a call. Let's talk about it this morning a little more, and let's talk about how to get the kinds of seeds that we want for fall. Listen, we've got Rob's giving me a reward if I'll come perfect and inspect his house. It sounds like a great invitation, Rob. We'll see if we can do it. We'll see. But I'm going to look at your picture. Rob sent me a picture of his citrus. And, yeah, I'm seeing the graft, Rob. It's down in there. This tree got buried a little bit too deeply. And there was a problem. I don't know exactly what happened. It came back, but I can see where the graft is. Rob, you see that graft? You see how it was down actually below the soil level. And, in fact, it's below the soil level on most of the tree. I think you've done good. Keep that soil pulled as far. In fact, Rob, you might actually at this point want to try to pull, rake some of the soil away from the thing. There's a tool, there's an air tool that Peter loves. Peter Toler, who was on our show last week, he loves it because we're looking at Rob's citrus and planted too deep. And we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about that citrus after this break. But Rob sent me this picture. I can tell that that's what happened. At some point in its life, it got buried too deep, and there's a problem. There's an air spade that can help you solve some of the problems. But, Rob, I think we can probably do it. I think we can probably do it without an air spade. Let's come back after this break. We're going to talk a little bit more about how to deal with Rob's citrus. We're going to talk more about planting. Give us a call. Call any vegetable.
Call one today. Call when you get off the train. Call any vegetable. Call any vegetable. And the chances are good.
This is Chris Francis, board-certified master arborist at Chris Francis Tree Care. Trees are such a valuable part of your property. Want to know how to keep pest problems away from your trees? Start by keeping them healthy, making sure they're growing in a favorable environment, providing the proper nutrients, and maintaining the appropriate pH. Meanwhile, certain pests attack perfectly healthy plants. Timely applications of oils, soaps, insecticides, fungicides, and fertilizers will significantly improve survivability. But the key is having knowledgeable experts making regular site visits to catch or prevent problems before they occur, all while protecting the pollinators and beneficials. Does this sound overwhelming? Let our plant health care professionals do it for you. Call 4TREE, that's F-O-R-T-R-E-E, Chris Francis Tree Care, online, chrisfrancistreecare.com, or find us on Facebook, or call 367-8733, 251-4TREE.
Does a new building with a wind rating of 175 miles per hour appeal to you? That certainly is within our capability. This is Scott Armstrong with Kemco Metal Buildings. For almost 50 years, Kemco has been designing and constructing the highest quality steel buildings for our customers. Whether you need a building for commercial, industrial, agricultural, storage, church, or community use, or if you just want a Kemco building for yourself, please contact us. Kemco will use state-of-the-art software and our many years of experience to help you custom design a metal building that best suits your needs. Check out our website at KemcoBuildings.com or stop by our 40,000 square foot facility on Pollard Road in Daphne. We're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to give you homegrown service. That is KEMKO 251-626-0594. Our goal is to exceed your expectations.
This is Jerome from Birmingham, previously from the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Anyone who wants to stand up for one of these coaches or players, good luck. Do it at your own risk. It's an ugly, stinking affair. But anyone who thinks college basketball is pure and pristine, it's a dirty sport. Let's just face the facts. None of this is a surprise.
The radio show voted most likely to draw a targeting penalty. The Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays at 2 on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yay, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening, and Amy asked me a great question. She apologized for something. I'm not sure what, but she asked it because she asked a great question. I love beet greens. I love beet greens too, and you know, I agree. The beet's pretty good. The beet greens are exceptional. Beet greens are just wonderful things. You know, Amy, chard grows really well here too, and it has a slightly milder flavor than beets, but there's some great chard greens out there that we recommend, not just the familiar red ones, but the traditional Italian ones. Can you grow beets here? Yes. Now, Amy, I'm assuming that your area code tells me nothing about where you are. I'm assuming that your area code is not from North, that you're not living in Northern Ohio, that you're living somewhere in Mobile. and somewhere along the Gulf Coast. And one of the things I say about beets on the Gulf Coast is beets are something we have to aspire to. You've got to aspire to beets for a couple of reasons. One, you got to plant them at just the right time in fall. You got to keep them well watered. Once they get started, they do really well. There's another thing about beets that's very important, and I love beets. I love beet greens. And McGregor's favorite, I think, is what it's called, that just produces incredible greens. And I love growing it. I think the greens are just beautiful and wonderful. But beets love soil that is high in calcium. And you know, we don't always have to talk about the specific mineral needs of plants. Spanish Fork, okay, you're at Spanish Fork, not in northern Ohio. That's good to know. You might have an easier time in northern Ohio, but you could do it in Spanish Fork. You need calcium, and so your soil needs a good bit of lime. You need to lime the soil well. And here's what I would do. Aspiring to beets, you want a good mulchy soil that's got lots of organic matter in it, with lots of leaf matter, but you also want to add a good bit of calcium to that. It makes a big difference in the form of lime. So when you're preparing your beds for beets, and I don't think you're probably okay. Look, start your beds now. If you've got a place, you've got lots of organic matter. It's a nice, deep, rich kind of black when it gets wet. When it gets a little moist, it turns really black, and you've got lots of organic particles in there. That's really good. Add some lime to it right now. Give that lime about a month to sink in and go well. And then sow your beets sometime in late September, or mid-September to late September. You can actually sow several rounds of beets. Keep them well watered. Sometimes people will put a croaker sack. We used to have croaker sacks. I just saw a croaker sack in the garbage the other day. I got to go retrieve that thing now that I'm thinking about it. Listen, croaker sacks are very good for laying on things, keeping them a little bit moist. Put a mulch over it if you need to, something to keep those seeds moist, because they need to stay moist until they germinate. The young plants are a little fragile, but boy, once they get up in October, what's up in October, you keep them well watered through October, they're going to grow all through the winter. They're going to be great. I love beets. Thank you for asking me, Amy, about beets. They're absolutely perfect. They're great for you. If you have any other questions about beets, you call me. Try McGregor's Favorite. McGregor's Favorite. It's one tough beet. It has great beet greens. It's famous for its beet greens. Pretty sure that's the name. I think McGregor's Favorite. I think that's it. It's one that I've grown. The beet is actually really good. It's a very traditional beet. It actually holds well over winter. It's a very hardy beet. Have I said all this before? Should I say beet one more time? McGregor's Favorite. McGregor's Favorite. There it is. In a container. Ooh, I didn't get to that. Now that's interesting. This sounds like a problem for someone else, for a tax man to solve. Can you grow beets in a container? That's a good question. They're very deep rooted. They're very deep rooted. So you're going to need not only a deep container, but a wide container. I think McGregor's Favorite might be just the thing. And I would try McGregor's Favorite in a container. Remember to add the calcium. Try that. Let's try it. Sow it a little thick. You're going to go for the greens. I don't know how the roots are going to do, I'll be honest, because you need a lot of space for those roots to develop. They might come out a little bit misshapen in a pot, in a container. But in this case, I would go with a container that both has a wide top, and that's pretty deep as well. You're going to need a lot of soil to do them in a container to do them well. But if you're going to grow for the greens, I think you're in better shape. McGregor's Favorite, great greens. And listen, Amy, try chard while you're at it. look for the Italian varieties of chard, some of the classic Italian varieties of chard. They're really great, too. And you know, there's a lot of varieties out there to play with. They are going to do very well in containers. They're going to do really well in containers, probably better than beets will do. But McGregor's Favorite is also one that I would do in containers. Well, that was a lot of fun. Hey, Jim, and so we got chewing sugar cane. Jim's got three canes of it. Jim, you got two choices with that cane. You can eat it all, you can chew on it, which is a fun thing, or you can lay it in and plant it and grow it yourself next year. So I've got, you know, sugar cane. There's some great varieties of sugar cane out there. There's commercial varieties. All varieties of sugar cane can produce great syrup. All varieties of sugar cane can be chewing cane if you like. They're a lot of fun to chew on. We grew up chewing on sugar cane. You know, it's one of those things that has been lost, isn't it? I have to describe how that happens. You get and you just slice off a little piece, you chew on it, very sweet, very wonderful thing. Jim, chew on one, save two, plant them lengthwise. They'll begin to sprout. They look fresh enough that they'll begin sprouting. You'll have sugar cane coming up next year, and you'll have that cane yourself. Those are pretty looking stalks, nice purple. Irby, if I got that name right, I'm listening. Yes, what's up?
Yes, you do. That's an inherited family name.
It's a great name.
No, I got some problems with some grass. We took possession of this house about 6 months ago. We had it built, and the sod they put on was really thin, and it's over that red dirt. And look, about every month and a half or less, I have to put fertilizer on it, some type, to keep the color of it. Is there anything I can do that would last longer than 3 weeks?
Did you tell me that this was centipede?
Yes.
Yeah. So let me tell you, the fertilizer is helping to kill the grass. Yes. Do not use fertilizer. Use iron. So use iron. Centipede is naturally, one of the problems with centipede is that it is naturally a pale green grass. And it doesn't like nitrogen. In fact, it you really can kill centipede by continuing to apply nitrogen, and you're probably weakening it seriously. So to get that dark green color in centipede without killing it, use iron. That's so it's widely known. My some of my best friends do that. They use iron on their centipede. Bobby Green does it. He's been doing it for years. Works really well. Don't kill your centipede with the nitrogen. If your centipede is alive and growing, man, you are way ahead of the game. That is incredible, because most people's centipede is dying for a lot of reasons. But if it's growing, don't mess with success. Use iron, because it's gentle. It won't hurt the grass, but it will turn it that dark green. Don't use nitrogen, okay?
Well, I put some nitrogen on it, a little, or not nitrogen, but some iron on it, 2% iron. And it's growing to where I have to cut it. I could cut it twice a week and keep it about 3 inches tall.
Yeah, well, that's great. And that's probably why yours is doing really well, is you've got it set a little bit high. You're using that iron. That 2% iron is great. Don't use nitrogen fertilizer with it. But the iron should last. You might increase your iron just a little bit. But so you're saying the iron is not lasting?
Well, the iron I put on it was last time, and seems like it's holding its color longer now.
Right.
All right, what would be a maximum amount of iron I could put on it?
So
what
listen,
would you suggest?
Well, use the package descriptions for the iron, depending on the kind you use. I don't know what kind you're using. I don't know whether it's going to be liquid. I don't know whether it's going to be pellet, and I don't have the numbers right off the top of my head. But okay. But it will. It should tell you there. The important thing is you can screw up with iron, but it's hard. The important thing is just use iron. Do not use a fertilizer that contains extra iron. Just use the iron. I hope that worked. We got to take a break. We're going to be back. Got lots of questions. I'm going to try to get to them. We'll be back.
This information update brought to you by Truett Insurance and Bonding in Daphne. When you need home, auto, or business insurance, do it with Truett. Call 625-2600 or visit our website, truettinsurance.com. Do it with Truett.
FM Talk 1065, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The Gulf Coast can expect partly cloudy skies today with scattered thunderstorms. High temperatures will be in the lower 90s. Tonight, isolated thunderstorms, lows in the mid-70s. And for Monday, scattered thunderstorms with high temperatures in the mid-90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 1065.
FM Talk 1065, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
I'm Dr. Connie Uzel at Southern Cancer Center. As oncologists, we form deep bonds with our patients. One of my favorite things is when patients come in a few years after their cancer treatment. Oftentimes they will ask me, "What year was that? When was my chemotherapy?" And I smile really big because I know that it's in their rearview mirror. It's a fading memory. Come see the difference at Southern Cancer Center, navigating you from patient to survivor.
If you're a small business owner, well, you don't need me to tell you that the right hire can have a huge impact on your business. That's why it's crucial you make sure your job post reaches the most qualified candidates. Could try posting on some of those other job boards, but if you do that, do you really know who's going to see your job posting? When you post your job on LinkedIn, it reaches 70% of the U.S. workforce. And unlike job boards, LinkedIn is a community that career-focused people visit every single day to grow professionally and explore job opportunities. LinkedIn Jobs intelligently targets candidates based on their skills, recommendations, even how open they are to new opportunities like yours, insights that are only available on the LinkedIn network. The result is that your post is matched to the best people for the job. It's probably why a new hire is made every 10 seconds using LinkedIn. And right now you can go to linkedin.com/WAVH to get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/WAVH for $50 off. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, you're closer than you think.
Hey, it's Sean Sullivan. Join Mike Ward and me every Saturday morning at 7 for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, bringing you inshore, offshore, and freshwater fishing reports from some of the area's best guides, plus hunting talk, conservation news, habitat management, and the latest in state and federal regulations. So join the conversation Saturday mornings at 7. Plus, you can listen after the hunt or fishing trip with our podcast on FMTalk1065.com. It's FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, outdoors for South Alabama by people that hunt and fish right here in South Alabama.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Rain, rain on my face. Hasn't stopped raining for days.
Yeah, welcome back. It's the Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. We got a lot of things to take care of this morning. Irby, we didn't get to your fig question. Call me back next week if we've missed it, and we'll talk about your fig question. I'm sorry we got cut off by our break, but we'll talk about that next week. I will research the amount of iron that a lawn will tolerate, and I will get back to us all on that next week and talk a little bit more about that. It's hard to mess up with the iron. Use the directions on the package. Do not use something with just iron. Don't use something with nitrogen in it if you're trying to green your yard up. Or make sure it's very low nitrogen when you use it on centipede. That's the way to deal with it. So let's see, what else have I got? I got some questions here. Tips for growing Nanking cotton. Sean is busy this morning thinking about things. Sean, Nanking cotton, Cotton is easy to grow. I learned, oh gosh, I hate to say this, but I learned horticulture growing cotton on huge hundreds of acres at a time. It's not the fun way to do horticulture, but I'll tell you, cotton can grow here. It's not the best crop for Mobile. Mobile was never famous for its cotton, let me tell you, because it rains too much here. And the cotton bowl gets cruddy. It gets funky when it rains all the time when the cotton bowl is opening. If I were going to grow cotton, I would plant it here. I would, if I wanted to have the cotton bowl open up and look pretty and have good cotton, I would plant that cotton late. Not early, but late. I would plant it in late May. So that it was maturing in later September when there was a greater chance I was getting dry weather. But cotton is easy to grow. The flowers are actually quite beautiful. They're actually quite beautiful. It's related to hibiscus. It has that beautiful hibiscus-like flower. A cotton field in bloom can be a pretty thing as long as you're not having to scout it. Then there's just nothing pretty about it at all, and particularly when you have 700 acres of it to scout. But it's a pretty thing, cotton sometimes. Talk about pears. Now, isn't that something? So Tony's got a question about his sand pears and when they're ready. You know, a lot of sand pears are ready to harvest in August or September. Tony, if your limbs are breaking, even though I don't know what kind of sand pear you have and I can't tell you, I would go ahead in the next week or two and start thinning it. You don't have to take all the pears off, but on the limbs that are really stressed, thin those pears. They're not going to size up. The reason they're so small is because you have so many pears on there. Does that make sense? So they're all competing with each other for nutrition from the tree. So they've all gotten pretty small. Pick them now. It's not going to make the others size up, but it'll keep your limbs from breaking. I think don't wait for them to size up. I don't think size is not an issue. I think they're getting ready to harvest. Pick half of them now. If you want to wait a little while, pick another half. Imagine what happens if we get a tropical storm and you've got all those pears. You are going to have a distressed tree. Go ahead and start thinning them now. What type of pears? Michael from Spanish Fort asked. You know, I don't know what got people on pears this morning, but I'm glad. Pears are a great thing. Some of the best pears for our climate are the Warren pear, Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N, and Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S. They are both delicious pears. There are kefir pears, there are sand pears, there are moon pears, there are Asian pears. Some of them do fine in their area. Tony's got a sand pear that's great. But if I were growing a pear to eat, I'll just tell you, it would be Warren and Ayers, A-Y-E-R-S. They can be hard to find. I know you can get them from Just Fruits and Exotics. I also think you can get them from Petals from the Past, if you don't mind the drive up to that part of the state, because one of our great horticulturists in the state and his son run that, Arlie Powell and his son Jason. And Arlie is one of the experts. Arlie knows what grows in Alabama. And so Arlie has made sure that, and Jason have made sure that they have Warren and Ayers. Call before you get up there. But Petals from the Past may have those as well. You might check with Old Time and check with A Bloom to see if they have them. Ayers and Warren pears are my two favorites. So Tony says he doesn't know what kind of pears he has. They're hard as a brick. Well, that's sand pears for you. They are always hard as a brick. They never soften up on the tree. You pick them, you let them, what's that word? Somebody will remember the word. It's a special word that says you basically let them soften up over a long period of time after you've picked them. And that's typical of sand pears. It takes them a long time. Bletting. Bletting is the word. Yes, I'm glad I remembered that. I think I'm using the word correctly. You blet those pears. You let them soften up. You can use them for canning whenever the time is appropriate. But they're still probably hard. But I'm worried about your tree, Tony, with all of those things. That's why I'm saying on the limbs that have the heaviest, just thin off half of them. You know what I'm saying? Just thin off half. Make sure that the pears that remain are about a foot apart or 6 inches apart. You see what I'm saying? That way, if you think you might need to let them go a little longer, you can. but you won't stress the tree. Hey, George, I'm listening. What's up?
Well, I tell you, Bill, I got a crepe myrtle, one crepe myrtle. I got many crepe myrtles in my yard. And I got one that's called Centennial something. It's one of the deeper reds, supposed to be the deepest red you can get in a crepe myrtle tree. But I wonder, can you fertilize one or spray one? It's got something, as I say, that grows on the bark. It's kind of fuzzy looking. It's not on the leaves, just the bark.
Well, George, let me say no. Don't worry about that. The thing on the bark, let's get to the thing on the bark. The thing on the bark is lichen, and lichen is completely harmless. The lichen, that same lichen, could grow on a rock.
Oh, oh.
And be perfectly happy. So what it is, it's not taking anything from the tree. It's just using the tree as what we call a substrate. It's using the tree as a platform to grow on so that it can get plenty of sunlight. The reason that tree has lichen and some of the other trees don't is because that tree's leaves are not very thick. So it's the lack of lack of leaves on that centennial that might worry me, because apparently the leaves aren't very thick, and therefore it's not casting a lot of shade, and so the lichen can grow in the trunk. So the lichen isn't the problem, but the fact that the tree isn't growing as well is a problem.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
so,
sir.
So let me tell you something about the reds. There were some great red crepe myrtles introduced a few years ago. They were all developed in Maryland. Maryland is not Mobile, and they were selected for a cooler climate, and in fact, they were explicitly selected for colder climates. Some of those reds just don't like our heat. It's hard to believe that there are crepe myrtles that don't like heat, but indeed, there are crepe myrtles that don't like heat. And so you may be having a problem with that one simply because it doesn't like our heat as well. You've already got it planted, so here's what you need to do. Remove the grass from as far around that tree as you possibly can, okay? Because it doesn't need that competition from the grass.
About mulch around it? Can you put mulch around it?
Good mulch. But you listen. You want the mulch not to be around the trunk. You want the mulch to be around the roots.
Oh.
So you want to remove the grass out about 3 feet, all around the tree. Okay? That means that's a 6 foot area.
I got another question I want to ask you about
Listen, when you put the mulch there, make sure that the mulch is at least a foot away from the trunk.
And I got it all around the trunk. I'll have to remove it.
Remove that. That can be really dangerous. Okay?
Okay. And a live oak, have you ever seen one with termites in it? Oh, I got a lot of dead limbs, and I'm the guy called up and asked you about that. And called you. There was an Arbus, however you pronounce it.
Right.
Tree like yourself, and I stuck my foot. I called him an educated idiot, and later I found out you're an arboretrist, however you pronounce it.
Well, and I'm not a certified arborist. I should be, but one of these days I will be. But Chris Francis is, and Peter Toler are, and they're good. They're good at what they do, and I aspire to be an arborist too. Listen, that water oak has got problems. Do I see termites in water oaks? If there's a water oak that's more than 25 years old, I expect to have termites in it.
Ah.
It's on the Gulf Coast. That's what we say, 25 years growing, 25 years dying. And so there's going to be rot. There's going to be termites in the roots. It's going to be a problem.
Well, I had that guy come out from the city, as I told you. And it's on McGregor Avenue. I'm still concerned. It's not on the city's property. It's about 2 feet on our neighbor's property.
Yeah, that's a
problem. And it keeps dropping limbs. And I tell you, it's going to hurt somebody. It's going to bust a windshield. Got some pretty big limbs. It could end up killing somebody, and the city don't seem to want to do nothing. Seemed like somebody would be liable for that.
Well, here's the...
warn them and report it to the city.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. Can I talk real quickly about the problem, George? Here's the issue. The city can't cut a tree on someone else's property. You see what I'm saying? The city can cut a tree if it's on the right-of-way, but they can't cut a tree on somebody's property. So that becomes the responsibility of the property owner. Now, I will tell you that the city, if I understand the city's ordinances correctly, there will be a new city ordinance that will require people to remove hazard trees like that. The city can go to that person and require that person to remove the tree because it's their tree. It's not on city property. I don't think that ordinance is in effect yet, so I don't think that it will work yet, if that makes any sense. So you can't force people to do things unless it's a law, and it's not an ordinance yet. It's not a law. It's not official.
Well,
so,
I'm really concerned about my wife comes in and out that driveway.
Yeah. So here's what I would do. If the tree is on somebody else's property, I would send them a note, and we're going to run out of time here in just a minute, but send them a note. Tell them we're really worried about that tree and that you would like for them to have it removed. That note will be very important, and I'll tell you why when we come back. Meanwhile, what a great song.
Because everything gonna funny, gonna get down. On your bended knees, I ain't gonna dig no more taters. I decline, I ain't gonna pick no peas. Because everything is on the phone, you know you got to go. I get down on your bending knee.
A few years ago, I decided to buy a Liberty Safe to protect my valuables. I never dreamed that my house would be broken into. What they couldn't break into was my Liberty Safe. I am so thankful I bought the safe. It's worth every penny. I highly recommend Mike Ward's Liberty Safes.
Protect your valuables with a safe from Mike Ward's Liberty Safes and get 12 months no interest financing. I-65 and Moffett Road, look for the giant yellow safe.
The world has changed. Where you get your financial advice should too. As you look to protect and grow your wealth in this uncertain market, the right partnership can give you one of the most powerful tools in investing today, confidence. Let your UBS financial advisor, Drew Wing, advise you on how to invest in the market while protecting your principal with FDIC insurance. Advice that's backed by the only research in the industry dedicated to helping individual investors like you. So call your UBS financial advisor, Drew Wing, at 251-510-0748, because putting the right protection in place today can make a big difference tomorrow. Call Drew Wing at 251-510-0748. That's 510-0748. Advice you can trust starts with a conversation. $200,000 minimum account balance. UBS Financial Services, member SIPC.
Right now, it's a great time for anybody ready to get some real work done in Alabama. Whether you're somebody who needs to hire, somebody who wants to get hired, or a student who wants to know how to prepare to get hired, there's a new unified force for your success and a brighter future. It's time to get to work, Alabama. Alabama Works.
Sponsored by Alabama Works, the ABA, and this station. Visit alabamaworks.com.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yay, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. We got a lot of things to cover this morning, which we've had a lot of things to cover. I want to emphasize, have I said this before this morning? Have I mentioned this before? Folks, you got to get your fall and winter garden ready. You thought I was going to stop talking about it, didn't you? You thought just because it's Sunday and just because you want to lay around and do nothing, that you thought I was going to stop talking about it. But let me tell you, It's really important. Now is the time to begin planting your fall garden. I'm not giving you a big head start. We started last week. Last week was my head start. This week, it's time. There are stuff you've got to start sowing right away. And you've got to start getting your seeds for things like collards, for radishes, for mustard greens, for leeks, for artichokes, for nasturtiums, for marigolds, for Chinese cabbages, what am I leaving out? I mean, it just, the list, lettuces, oh man, goodness gracious, have I not talked about lettuces this morning? There's Swiss chard, there's beets. This is the great season of planting along the Gulf Coast. You got to have things right. Carrots? Did we talk about carrots? We did talk about carrots. Cabbage. Did I mention cabbage? And what about turnips? How about turnips? And what about some of these great greens that I'm experimenting with, like komatsuna? And listen, if you haven't heard me say parsley more than once this morning, I haven't said it enough. Parsley. I'm saying it again. I am sowing my parsley seeds right now. I'll tell you, parsley, they are slow as Christmas to come up. But they'll come up. You just plant them. You sow them now. They're slow as Christmas. They're going to come up. They are great in the fall garden. They will grow all fall long. If you haven't had parsley and carrot pesto mixed together, oh, my goodness. Oh, come on. It is so incredibly good. Parsley, just any way you can have parsley, and parsley out of your garden is just the finest thing in the whole world. You just go grab a big bunch, you do whatever you want to with it. You know it's a great thing. Cilantro, it's the time of year to do it. This is the great season of planting along the Gulf Coast. Did I say marigolds? Get your marigolds planted. Get your nasturtiums planted. Listen, if you've grown plants before, if you love flowers, try calendulas. Some people call them pot marigolds. Let's call them calendulas just to avoid confusion. They're a very different kind of thing, but they're beautiful. It's a great time of year to do it. If you want to have things for spring, like foxgloves and all sorts of other great things we call biennials, we call them overwintering annuals here. This is the time to do it. It's time to order your sweet peas. It's probably your last chance to order garlic. This is the time to... Guys, I'm not going to stop talking about this. This is the important thing to do. It's the time to do it. It's the time to do it. So there we go. Listen, we had a lot of good conversation about trees this morning. Let me emphasize, if the tree is on city property, if it's on the city right-of-way, the city has some obligation to take it out. They got a lot of trees to take out. If the city isn't, if you've got a problem tree and it isn't on city property, well, the city can't take it out. It's just that simple. It makes sense, can't it? I mean, you know, they don't have a condemnation process for trees, and if they did, it would take way too long. Listen, the thing is, if the tree is on a neighbor's property, send them a note. Start a nice note. Say, I'm worried about this tree. I think it's going to fall. It's got termites. I'm worried about what it could do to my car, to our house, or other people. Please be careful with that tree. Please remove it if you can. Send them a nice note. Let them know what's going on. A tree that has to be removed that's not close to a house, that shouldn't cost a lot of money to remove. And let's get it removed. Let's talk the neighbor into it. That's the way to do it. I think that we may see, and we'll get Peter back on to talk about this later on, we may see some rules in the city that require homeowners to take down trees that are a conspicuous problem. I don't know how we're going to define conspicuous problem, but it'll be interesting, but it's probably a good idea in some measure. And then you'll have the leverage of the law to do that. I don't think that leverage is there right now, but a nice note can help. That nice note has a second benefit, and that is that it can become part of a legal action. Part of a legal action later, should anything go wrong with that tree. So go ahead, send a nice note to your neighbor saying, boy, I'm worried. Be as nice as you can, because they're your neighbors, you know? And you're going to have to live next to them for a long time. Send them a nice note. Let them know. There it is. If a tree is on city property, the city's responsible for it. You can harass the city if it's on city property. But if it's not, you have to figure out how to negotiate with your neighbors. Water oaks, folks, are a big problem for everybody. If you think I'm joking when I say 25 years growing and 25 years dying, somebody told me that little factoid years ago in Mobile, and man, it is as true as anything that I have ever heard. Water oaks are short-lived in Mobile. They have lots of problems, fall apart, and they are a big problem during tropical storms. Have we not covered the world today? We got lots of other things we need to be covering. Rob, you know, I'm worried about your citrus. You call me back next week if we need to talk about it a little more. I can see the graft. The graft got buried. That's part of the problem, and that's part of the problem why you ended up with all of those branches doing like they did. And it's causing some problems. So let's pull it back away from the graft. We'll talk about that more. We're going to talk... You know, I don't think I'm through talking about fall and winter planning. Ooh, you're going to regret it if you don't start soon, because I'm going to keep talking about it till you do. So stay tuned next week. We're going to be back. We're going to have to go out a little bit early. Great song called Whispering Pines from a group called The Band. You know, I think we need more pine music. Why is it that the place that is so famous for pines doesn't talk about pines the way, you know, Respighi talked about the pines of Rome and they wrote a symphony about these pines? People in other parts of the world love pines. We need to love ours. Whispering Pines from The Band.